Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boo, boo, ba doo. This podcast is part of the Phantom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts like Stargirl After Show and A Swift Review and The Gotham Knights Watch, go to phantomlimb.com.
Here and What's New, Nancy Drew. Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of The Nancy Drew starring Kennedy McMahon. Today we'll be talking about Season 4, Episode 6, The Web of Yesterdays. Sarah, how excited were you for this episode?
I was not. I was dreading it. I do want to thank all the people who reached out on Twitter and warned me that this was a spider episode, including people like involved with the show.
That is
so
awesome.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for caring about me. I had a rough time.
Meanwhile, I am a terrible best friend slash brother-in-law because I'm sitting at my own house watching at the same time as you are, just losing my mind over how you were at home losing your mind. I'm just like giggling to myself.
I think it was the anticipation of not knowing when it was going to come out. Not even joking. I almost threw up multiple times.
I was just going to ask, how many times did you throw up? Ooh,
it was just dreading it. The second time I watched it, it was not as bad because I knew when it was coming. I could avert my eyes if needed. But then I was also like, I know these aren't real spiders.
Right.
It's when all the tiny ones came out. That's what really gets me.
Yeah. Then there's a lot of little critters scurrying about.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
And then this weekend, my husband and I decided to do one of those escape room in a box, exit ones. And we were like, let's do the Lord of the Rings one. I forgot.
That's
about Shelob.
That's on
the
you.
The giant spider.
So you've just had a spiderific week.
Yeah. So like that's like broken into sections. And then I realized at what point we were at in the movie. Because like the story is you're going ahead of Frodo and all of them, like getting stuff ready so that Frodo and Samwise have an easier job.
Oh.
And so I got like, I was like, uh-oh, like I'm going to have to take a step back. I was like covering the spider on the picture with my hand so I didn't have to deal with it. So it was a rough week.
Did you all solve it?
We did. Yeah.
That's good. How Nancy Drew of you.
I know, right?
Or how Bess Marvin, because she's the only person who's actually helpful in the entire show.
Nancy's pretty helpful.
Yeah, yeah. They're all helpful in their own way. All right. So this episode, we open up at Icarus Hall with the Drew crew chipping away at the marble of the season-long mysteries. Basically, we're getting this really, really growing list of all the things they know, which is amusing every episode. So there's like, there's eight bodies, there's, you know, puke in the water that made people relive their memories. Like, it's just really funny every time they recap it.
Yeah. And then Nancy's trying out her catchphrase. That's how you put the I in NDI.
I did not know what NDI was because I was looking down at my notes and I was like, oh, Nancy Drew Investigations. I thought it was gonna be like NDI. It just sounds like it's supposed to be like FBI, like it's supposed to be like an actual thing that, you know, I'm like, oh, she's talking about her specific brand.
Yeah, because she's gonna do a career day. She is gonna help mold young people's lives.
She's so excited.
She's so excited. And everyone else is like, yep.
Well, George is like, oh yeah, we haven't heard this six times already. Sometimes George is extra George.
Yes.
And this was one of those moments. They all reveal their artwork. They all drew that terrifying albino crab monster that scurried off in the woods last episode. Did you have a favorite drawing?
Aces, I think. I love that it was like last year or whenever we had to recreate the Wraith, whatever that tool thing was. And like Nick sketched this beautiful thing and like Ace's drawing was like total crap. So I love that they're consistent with that. Ace can do all this stuff, but he cannot draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was enjoying looking at the different pictures. It makes sense that Nancy's would be detailed because of her photographic memory.
Mm-hmm.
Bess drew little hearts on the eyes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
she just wanted to make it less scary.
What did she say? Like, she didn't really look at it. And she just wanted it to have hard eyes.
Much less intimidating that way.
And Bess is asking Nancy about her and Ace. And Nancy says that they are in a good place, and Bess is like, okay, good, now you can date.
I think it's important to note that Ace is not actually with them right now. He sent his picture from the morgue.
Yeah, because then we cut over to the morgue, and he's there with a very grumpy Connor.
Cece!
Coroner Connor was awake all night because a stupid furry little creature keeps getting into his trash.
Oh my god. I was so excited. I was like, is this Chunky?
It is Chunky.
Actually, I have to be very, very honest. I was having TV problems trying to get this episode up. I didn't get on until like 8:02. And the first thing that comes on the screen when it finally starts working is Ace with the picture. And oh. He's like, Chunky. And I was like, ah!
Yes. Chunky has been hanging out at Connor and Lily's house. And Connor goes to leave and he grabs a formaldehyde so that he has liquid pest control. And I'm like,
kill him.
No.
Don't kill Chunky.
Yeah. So good on Ace for getting on this to try and save Chunky. Back at the Drew house, we learn Bess has been served and she thinks that they are very mean. And Carson is kind of talking her through it. It's a cease and desist letter from the Families for Truth in History.
Barf.
Blah. And we learn that Aaron is one of the members. He was the father of the kid who got possessed by the demon and all that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And Bess is upset because they told her not to teach the kids, dot, 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 all that stuff. It's all very relevant to now, this other season-long thing. There's a lot of season-long arcs here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're different. They're all kind of connected, but they're different stakes.
Yeah.
For different characters. It's not all a mystery. Some of it is, okay, we have this real life problem. How do we handle it?
Yeah, not all supernatural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Supernatural adjacent.
Bess wants to respond to the cease and desist with some mild but pointed heckling. And Carson's like, no, I will draft it up.
Yeah, he said that they need to be measured because they have the ear of a lot of citizens. So we have to stay rational and above the fray.
We go over to Nancy at the career fair, and this made me so sad and anxious.
Yeah.
Because she is not doing well.
No, and she has such a cool job. Like, that's amazing. But then the kids in the audience are like, oh, didn't my uncle, like, hire you to find the ferret?
I mean, completely fair, but maybe acknowledge the cool thing she did too.
I know, she mentions like the Rose Turnbull kidnapping and the perfume heist and the frozen hearts killer. Like, guys, that is much more exciting than the ferret.
Yeah, but then they're like, well, you couldn't even get the ferret. And then one person in the audience is like, oh, did the ferret do something illegal? And Nancy's like, that's highly unlikely.
I love that response. Like, she's not ruling it out.
Which, fair, considering how absurd this episode goes.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's like, well, nothing is out of the realm of possibilities in Horseshoe Bay.
And Tristan, quote unquote, comes to the rescue there by coming in and setting up his little seafaring adventure sign saying, hey, guys, I catch creatures for a living. It's a lot harder than it seems. So don't be hard on Nancy for not catching the ferret.
I could tell he was trying to help, but I was like, you're not, this is not it. You're stealing her moment.
Right. Because then they're like, have you ever caught a shark? And he's like, no. Well, actually.
And then starts to lift his shirt up to show a scar. I'm like, all right, sir, these are teenagers.
That's inappropriate, yeah. Dude.
So after that train wreck, he follows her into the hallway and says, you're you and cool things happen to you all the time, which I thought was cute.
Yeah, and she's like denying it. And he's like, how about the foot chase in the harbor? You live in a castle? She's like, not a castle. It's a hall. And she's being, I mean, I get it. She's annoyed because, you know, she was all excited for this and, you know, thinks that he ruined it for her.
Mm-hmm.
But he is trying so hard. And you can see how much he's like trying to connect and talk with her. And she just keeps shutting him down. And I felt really bad for him, actually.
So do you trust him?
No.
But you still felt bad for him.
Well, yeah. Because if he is a good guy, then she's being mean to him. And I don't fault her for how she's acting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looking at it from his perspective, he keeps trying. And then she's like, well, I don't want to fuel the fire between our parents anymore. And then that's when they go through all these streamers in the hallway, thinking it's the exit. But instead, they end up in the gym. The door is gone. And it is 1972.
So I don't watch previews for the next episode or anything. Did you have any idea what this episode was going to be other than the spider?
No, because it was going to be a spider. And so I wanted to see the least amount of spiders possible, and I didn't want them in the trailer.
When they were going through the tinsel, what did you think was going to happen?
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I was like, well, something. But they show up in the 70s. I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
So they get into the 70s, right? And Tristan seems unbothered. He says, okay, can we agree? Cool things happen to you all the time. He's like excited about it.
Yeah.
Which I like, but has me very suspicious. Obviously, he knows about magical things because of his parents' stuff. But I want to know really how much experience he has with these things.
Right. Because, well, like,
or what looking, his intentions are.
So I guess Nancy knows the dangers of the supernatural, whereas his parents, they are profiting off the supernatural.
Well, they're also the dangers of the supernatural.
Right. But he doesn't. I don't think he knows all that, or he's in denial about it.
Or he's helping them.
Or he is helping them, yeah. But we cut to commercial and come back at the morgue, where Nick is being a great friend and bringing Ace lunch because he wants to make sure that he sees the living at least once a day.
Such a good friend. So cute. And brings him a toasted turkey club this time.
Yeah. And Ace starts talking to him how he's been tracking Chunky on social media. And analyzing his scat. And he's like, and I got it. I'm like, Ace, you were going like a full on crazy lab scientist here. Like his hair should have been going all over the place. Being like, all right, I found the radishes in the scat.
No, I think he was going full on Hardy Boy.
Yeah, that's true.
Nick is being very patient. He's like, wait, what is happening? A ferret? Mm-hmm. Isn't this Nancy's thing?
Oh, is it? I'm just trying to help Connor. He needs to sleep. If helps Nancy, all the better.
Yeah, which is paper thin and we see right through it.
Yeah, Nick's like, are you sure this is a good idea?
But Nick agrees to help him.
He does.
Because they all just care about each other.
Yeah.
And I guess they don't have any hobbies other than this.
Also, if I find a friend who's going crazy analyzing a ferret scat, I'm going to want to see how that plays out.
We go back to the gym in 1972.
Back in time.
Oh my God. And then my heart breaks into 1,000 pieces. Nancy says, it's not time travel. Time travel doesn't exist. I've had this argument with my friend Tom Swift, and I shatter into 1,000 pieces.
Yes, because that means that they've talked since meeting. Like, it wasn't just the one time. They have talked again to discuss time travel,
which is amazing, because I won't say too much because you need to go watch the Tom Swift show, but there is a thing about time travel in there, and
just a small thing,
just a small minor detail. It definitely was going to be a bigger storyline in their second season, and they didn't get a second season. Mm-mm. And when they wrote this line, they knew Tom Swift wasn't getting a second season, so I felt like this line was for you and I.
Yes, and all the other people who watched. But
thank you, Melinda Shue Taylor. And everyone else who watched Tom Swift. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm still just holding out hope that we get him in an episode. Yeah. I will lose my absolute mind in the best way possible.
Oh my God, yes. All right, so back to prom. Tristan and Nancy are being called Bobby and Stacy. It sounds like they're a couple. And then they look in a mirror and realize, hey, we don't look like us. They look like Bobby and Stacy.
Yeah, and it's a biracial couple, which I am bringing up because the show has dealt with racial issues. And so knowing that it's the 70s, I kind of, and it's a mystery show, I was already like, okay, well, is that going to be part of whatever's mm-hmm. going on? Is there something about people not liking them as a couple and whatever? And they ended up not being anything.
No.
Which I like. Occasionally, like, I am not a big fan of colorblind casting because I feel like race is an important part of people's lives and their history and everything that makes up their being. I think it's important to cast in a way that is diverse and real to the world.
And with intention.
With intention, thank mm-hmm. you. So with this one being a colorblind casting, I thought it worked. This was a case where I felt like it worked. But knowing the show doesn't steer away from racial topics, when I first saw the biracial couple, my immediate thought was, okay, something bad's going to happen because of that.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't, so I liked that.
Yeah. Then some dude comes up and is like, all right, party at my house. My parents have gone 30 minutes. And I was like, that's a weird way to phrase it. And so Nancy's like, no, we're good. And Tristan's like, hey, maybe the answers are at the party. And the guy's like, come on over. 118 River Heights has never let us down. And she's like, okay, I'll be there, because that's her house.
I like that she called it her house, mm-hmm. even though she's been living at Icarus Hall.
I agree. And then she says last time that she was stuck in an alternate reality, that was her way home. And Tristan's like, there was a last time?
He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
They get to the house and acknowledge that it's a pretty accurate 1972. We find out that Nancy's grandparents bought it in the 80s. They're assuming they bought it from this kid.
Yeah.
Or the kid's family.
Yeah.
And they're wondering, okay, so whatever happens to us here, is that what happened to Bobby and Stacy back then? Like, mm-hmm. are we just playing out what they did?
Yeah.
So I like their teamwork and their brainstorming. It's always a treat to see Nancy work with people who aren't the Drew crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in a new friendship or a new relationship, you have to figure out how you guys work together. And with the Drew crew, it's all very established.
Yeah.
So it's cool to watch new relationships form.
Mm-hmm. And she is being very bossy in this one. And
rightfully so. She has experience.
Right. Yeah. And so sends him off to get information. She goes off and is talking to some nerd who's going on because he's mad that Molly Siegel is going into pre-med and she is taking a spot away from a guy. And this is just terrible for medicine.
And your face.
Oh, my God.
And Nancy literally thinks she's being punked. Like, yeah. She cannot comprehend that this is actually a conversation.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Keith saves her, and she is just like, get me back to reality. And he's like, oh my God, I know what you're talking about. And so she's like, maybe he's trapped here too. Maybe he's not really Keith, and he's trying to get back to the reality, and goes with them. But no, he just wants them to do spider eggs.
I thought it was going to be drugs, but I was glad that Nancy was very case focused.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's the 70s, and this kid is clearly like, party. Like, yeah. He thinks you're talking about drugs.
Yeah.
I'm sure you didn't Google this.
I did not.
What I was going to ask is if spider eggs is an actual thing people do as like a drug.
I'm going to choose that it is not. But I refuse to look it up because I don't want to see those pictures.
I should have been a good friend and looked it up, but well, let's just pretend that it is a thing that will never be talked about again.
And she's like, no. And he's like, no, anything from the earth is safe. And she's like, I think you've been misinformed.
So funny. But he takes a spider egg out of the wall like a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And it like burns her hand or whatever.
Yeah. And then we see Tristan downstairs and he hears, what the hell? And so he runs upstairs and finds Nancy still standing and Keith on the ground. And she tells him, we discussed the expanding role of consent over the years.
And knocked his ass to the floor.
So this dude drops an egg on her. It burns her. And then he makes a move on her.
Oh, that's not what I didn't take it like that. I thought he put the egg on her and that was the not consenting.
Oh, okay. All right. So they move outside, Tristan and her, and she's talking about how she thinks it's a ghost web. And that according to Bess, it's a dimensional anomaly, temporary replication of a day in the past.
They do not want to be stuck in it when it collapses. So they head to the Historical Society and Tristan fills in some conversation. Because they're walking. What else are they going to do? Mm-hmm. And they talk about how neither of them went to their own prom.
Yeah, he doesn't offer an explanation why he didn't go to his.
He was busy being evil somewhere.
Yeah, probably. But Nancy said that she missed hers because her mom had died and that had just fallen off her radar.
Sad, but understandable.
Yeah.
And in line with her character. They get there and Historical Society doesn't open until next year.
Yeah. And she talks about how the Historical Society is a safety net for when you're lost and need a keeper's help. And now she's lost and she can't find that help. And how terrible would it be if the Historical Society was no longer around to help people?
Yeah, really relevant to what's going on in modern Horseshoe Bay. Nancy's discouraged here. And Tristan says, when my traps come up empty, I usually go back to the first place I ever caught.
So let's go back to where we first showed up. And he asks her to prom.
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting over there being, oh, I love this. While you're being like, where's the spider? Where's the spider? We had very different emotional journeys watching this episode.
And she tells him, well, I don't have anything to wear. He has like fully immersed himself. He was like, okay, well, Stacy's friend Dawn said that Stacy's dress is already paid for, so you can go get it. And she's like, you just have all the answers, don't you? And he says, not all of them yet.
Because he likes her. But I like that he used specific names and everything, because she sent him to go learn about Stacy and Bobby. That was the task she gave him while she was going to try to find a way to get back to their reality. So he did. He found out about Stacy and Bobby and their friends.
Yeah. And then cut to modern time. Nick and Ace are in the claw like storage area. Nick keeps trying to talk and Ace is like, shh, because don't want to scare off Chunky. And then Chunky makes his move and they see Pots and Pans move. But Chunky tricks them and gets out the open door.
It's a very smart ferret.
Although, so they didn't leave a door open, right? That is.
So the ferret opened the door?
I thought Ace says at the end of this that he used a doorknob.
Completely absurd.
It is, but it would be more absurd if they left the door open. I am part of the rabbit rescue team for the House Rabbit Society, and I know rabbit rescue 101, block the exits.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Chunky's just a good escape artist.
I think Chunky might be a little bit more than a ferret.
Oh, really?
What if Chunky is Temperance?
Okay, let's play with that for a second.
Okay.
If Chunky was Temperance. Okay. What? If Chunky was Temperance, is she... Why? Okay, because this whole episode, Ace is using Chunky as a way to try to get close with Nancy again. So is Temperance as Chunky...
Interfering?
Trying to pull them apart or trying to put them together so Ace will die and Nancy will be more tortured? What is her Chunky intentions?
I think... Her original intentions were just to keep an eye on things.
Oh, okay.
As Chunky. And she's hard to find because she can also shapeshift into other things. I realize how absurd this sounds, but now I'm going all in.
So we've made a lot of predictions on the show. And I am Team Mermaid from season one, where I said there are going to be some mermaids on the show. So please take that into consideration when I tell you that is the wildest we've ever said on this podcast.
The Chunky theory?
The Temperance is Chunky.
I think it's true. I'm now convincing myself even more. So she has seen that they are deciding to distance themselves. So they're no longer being tortured in the way that she wants them being tortured. So she is bringing them together by choosing to go to Connor's house to pick on him to get Ace. Okay.
You're ferrets selling me.
Do not pose for Ring cameras by that. So she chose to be seen because she knew that Connor didn't know what a ferret was.
Okay, for this episode, I'm buying it. Explain Chunky in the first episode, which, by the way,
that was when she was just keeping an eye on
Chunky. Him. Was gone for 5 episodes. This is episode 6. We have not heard from Chunky since episode 1. That is wild.
Because they were being tortured. So Chunky didn't need to make an appearance.
Okay, so. So what was she doing in episode 1? Temperance. Chunky Temperance.
Keeping an eye on Nancy. Giving her something to do. Maybe also distracting her from all those 8 bodies that reanimated.
Ah. Okay.
So at the end of this episode, in Ekru's hall, these leaves, like, blow across the floor.
They sure do.
And I didn't have time to go back and rewatch episodes, but I feel like that was a sign when Temperance was in the liminal space. That there was like movement like that.
Oh my god, is Temperance Chunky the ferret?
Probably not. But imagine if that was true.
Okay.
Back to what's actually happening and not my wild theories that are absolutely correct. Chunky gets away and Nick is like, okay, well, we tried. And Ace is like, yeah, we're gonna keep trying. We're gonna stay as long as it takes. And Nick is seeing that this is not just about the ferret. And so he's like, okay, I got to step away. I'm going to go get a soda.
Sometimes a ferret's just a ferret, but not this time. Also, before the ferret or, you know, the big bad of season 3 scampered off, in the beginning of this scene, Nick was starting to ask him about Nancy, which I appreciate. Ace thinks if he can do this for Nancy, it'll mean they can find a way back to how things were before. He wants it to be back when it was just friendship. And Nick, I think, justly questions if it was ever just friendship and nothing more.
Yeah, and Ace is like, well, whatever it is, it's like the ferret. It's out there, just out of reach.
And then 15 minutes into the episode, George shows up.
Yeah, she's coming in, and Bess starts to ask if Nancy has checked in with her, which I like that Bess has realized that they haven't heard from Nancy, I guess, post-career day. But George is so upset and distracted that it takes her away. And George didn't deliver the cease and desist response from Carson. She instead read the letter, decided it was too nice, and they decide to rewrite it.
They don't respectfully disagree. They wholeheartedly disagree. And they write a new one. Dear closed-minded bigots. If I had a nickel for every time I want to put that in a Facebook status or something else.
And Bess is like, maybe dial it down just a scosh.
We go over to the prom. Sarah, what do you think I'm going to say?
I think you're going to talk about these outfits. Let's hear it.
Well, I want to know what you think I'm going to think about the outfits.
Well, I don't know. I can't predict what you're going to think. Really? I can only predict that ferrets are actually evil witches.
Okay, what do you think about the outfits?
I think, probably not popular, I think he looks good.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
That suit is everything. He got ruffles. He got a blue jacket. It was great.
It was great.
He looked super hot.
Her dress, and this could just be the style of the 70s. It just seemed plain.
Yes. I'm very familiar with what like 80s style prom dresses look like. And I didn't really know what to expect from a 70s style prom dress. It's a cute dress.
Yeah.
But it's like a cute dress for like, okay, I'm getting brunch.
Right.
Like on a Sunday. And he was very dapper. So it looked odd. But they look at themselves in the mirror and we see Stacy wearing the dress. I'm like, okay, it looks better on Stacy than it does Nancy.
Well, especially with how good Nancy, I think, looked last episode for her singles night speed dating. I thought she looked really pretty. And then this just didn't, it wasn't as flattering on her.
Right. Obviously, Kennedy is stunning. Well, it's kind of funny because there were a couple episodes ago where we had bro Nancy. And I was like, oh, I wish she was in some uncharacteristically feminine garb. This could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just what we need. Bro Nancy back in 1972.
My notes say Tristan looks good. Nancy's dress was a choice. He is quiet, wondering how I got through life without ruffles. Why was he quiet? He's up to something. He's just all a Twitter because he likes her.
I think he was just, he thinks she's pretty.
Yeah. How old is he? He's under 30 because he's about to die, right? Is that still my theory?
That's still your theory, yeah.
That
I think he's, I don't think they've said it, but it seems like he's just a few years older.
Comfortably under 30?
Yes.
Because Nancy's what, 20? 21?
19 or 20, 20. I guess. Because it was last year she was a senior in high school.
If this show was continuing, they'd have to do a time jump at some point because these actors are getting older.
It's true. I love how Tristan is like, okay, now you need to be nice to Dawn because she's upset her dress is silver and the place is decorated in silver streamers. How long was he talking to Dawn and how much more does he know?
I don't know. He's like best friends with Dawn. It's cute.
It reminded me, there's an episode of It's Always Sunny where completely different, but the gang gets involved with all these high school seniors and stuff. And Charlie just goes all in. He's like, oh my God, this is classic Tammy. This is blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, that's Tristan.
That's cute.
I was getting those vibes. And then also, I Only Have Eyes for You from Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. That's a very tragic episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which made me real nervous. Had I not been so worried about the spiders, I would have been a lot more worried.
So they look at themselves, and this was really sweet. Nancy like compliments how Stacy looks, and then Tristan's looking at her and ups her, so she says she looks great, and Tristan's like, she looks amazing. I was like, oh, I really don't want him to be evil.
I don't either,
but I also know she's not gonna end up with him.
Yeah,
so they might as well just make him evil.
when he brings up the streamers, that makes Nancy realize, hey, that's how we got in. That must be the way out. Before she can go, her hand like is all veiny and red and hurting and gross looking. And then someone comes up to take pictures of them. And she's like, no, no, no. And they're like, it's for the yearbook. And he's like, come on, Stace. It's for the yearbook.
And we get a classic line when people don't want to take pictures together. Pretend you like each other.
Yeah.
God. And then when that is done, they go and check behind the streamers. And they can't find any holes, just solid walls.
Yeah. And he didn't find anything, but he did find Punch.
He was not looking.
No.
He went to the Punch table. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
Meaning he's not threatened or, like, he's not taking it as seriously as right. he needs to. And I'm wondering why. I'm wondering, is it because you're causing all this? Is it because you can't get hurt because you're some supernatural thing? Like, what? Or are you just having fun with Nancy and you trust that she will save you?
I think it's he's having fun and trusts that she'll save him.
Yeah.
That he doesn't know what the risks are.
We'll
he's
see.
Just like, well, she gets out of this stuff all the time, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
He says that, you know, Bobby and Stacy probably dance at the prom, so we should probably do that too. And she's like, no. And he's like, well, I got to protect his rep. So he goes out there and he is dancing. And she's just standing there watching him.
He beckons her over and she looks so happy.
He doesn't beckon her over. He does the fishing rod and reels her in.
And she looks so happy.
Yeah.
And when she gets over there, she's like, okay, I gotta help you with his rep because you can't dance, basically.
Yeah. And
he could. It was cute.
It was cute.
In classic prom TV show movie moments, the song switches to a slow song and it's just my imagination.
Yeah.
Which
love the song.
It's a great song. And if you listen to the lyrics, there's a lot of things that could be deciphered from it.
Have you noticed this season the camera shots are kind of fuzzy sometimes? I noticed it a lot at the end of this episode when someone's walking in.
I wonder why.
I'm wondering if it has something to do with just my imagination and Chunky the Ferret.
Maybe. And maybe Tristan isn't even real.
That would be wild. What if Temperance is also Tristan and she's... No, that'd be weird.
Okay, wait, hold on. No, 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 no. So Temperance is Tristan, right? Cake Stan is Chunky.
Interesting.
Cake Stan the cat from last season.
Oh, I remember Cake Stan.
She did stuff to that cat, right?
She killed it and reanimated it.
Yeah.
Just like those eight bodies.
Yeah. And maybe the ferret is living on with Cake Stan's memory.
Have we gone too far?
We've gone off the rails. Off the rails. It's okay. This is what our listeners tune in for, right, everybody?
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Don't apologize. This is genius.
So as they're dancing to just my imagination, she starts bringing up filling in the conversation with him. It's not just responding to his questions. Like, she is starting to engage with him as well. And she asks if he always wanted to be a seafaring adventurer. And he tells her ever since he was six, and he likes being out there, gives him a break from the world. She's like, why do you need a break? And as he's staring at her, he says, honestly, right now, I can't think of a single reason.
He has fallen, and it is fresh.
Also, what was his childhood like that at 6 years old, he wanted a break from the world?
Well,
the glasses are terrible. People.
The glasses are terrible. And he mentions that he would go out on the boat with his grandpa.
Yeah.
So he's got good memories with an adult figure, just not his parents.
Yeah.
Who are terrible.
Right. And we know he's adopted. We don't know at what age he was adopted. So it could have been before that. As they're dancing and talking, she sees the streamers waving. The music's getting distorted. And she's like, okay, that's it. That's a way out. They run and run and run, and as they're going through it, her hand hurts, and she's dragged back in, and he's dragged out.
Yeah, that was dramatic.
All right, should we go ahead and take a break there?
We will be right back. We are back. We are back at the Claw. Carson calls George. He is not pleased.
He is furious.
It was inappropriate. It was bad faith. This is my case. What are you doing?
She tells him his response was weak, and that is not how you handle bullies.
Yeah, she doubles down, and I'm like, George, this is his livelihood.
Yeah. He's like, no, this is bad faith. Practicing law is putting out fires, not starting them. And then he hangs up on her.
And before too much can happen from that, Tristan busts in. Nancy's in trouble. And this is the greatest scene of the entire episode.
I love this.
Talk us through it.
So Nancy's in trouble. Bess is like, a career day? What are you wearing?
The right question. She's yes. asking the right question.
And he says she's stuck in the prom at the gym. And Nancy got pulled back in. And Nick is like, you and Nancy went to prom? George is like, together?
Is it even prom season?
And then he says, Nancy's stuck in the prom in 1972. And then all of them, oh, that makes sense. You should have led with that.
It was hilarious. All so of their funny. Comedic timing was great.
That was amazing. That was, yes, best scene of the episode, possibly the whole series.
Can I give my MVP to that scene for entertaining? Just yes, all of them.
Absolutely.
So Bess confirms what Tristan and Nancy thought. It is a ghost web. Gives Nick information that he needs to use the camera to harness the power to get into the web. So this camera, what episode? Like, when did this camera?
It was, he reconfigured it to see the Wraith.
Oh, okay. So you take pictures and you see a bad thing that you can't see yeah. without the camera.
Yeah.
I vaguely remembered it. I just couldn't remember what demon or creature they used it on.
Yeah. No, it was a creepy Wraith.
And Bess is just handing out orders, and everyone's listening because she fully has earned that trust.
And so she sends Nick and George to the high school to get a picture of whatever entity it is, and her and Tristan go off to the Historical Society to go do research.
I would like to think that while she sent people off for the correct reasons, that there was also a bit of her that was like, well, I just want time to talk to Tristan about Nancy.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And so she's working on this door and doing the research and saying that it'll temporarily allow access. And he's like all worried. He's like, okay, Nancy's been through worse and she's made it back. And Bess is comforting him and saying yes. So he's going to go look up Bobby and Stacy, get more information about them. And then she starts like, oh, so you and Nancy talked a lot, huh? And then part of me is like, focus, Bess, but also like, let's hear what he has to say.
Well, what he had to say was, she's easy to talk to.
And then he had the biggest smile.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Bess just like processing and being happy. It's interesting because Bess wants Nancy and Ace together.
Mm-hmm.
But this would not be doing that. I think she just wants what's best for her friends in general.
I think so.
She's very good at just being happy for people being happy.
I think she doesn't want to lose Ace or Nancy, and so she's good with them not being together.
Yeah, I still think she's going to crack the code on the curse breaking at some point, but maybe when Tristan is revealed to be Temperance or the ferret sidekick. We've gone full Disney villain at this point.
We really have. All right, so we go over to Nick and George. George is having a serious attitude. Like, she doesn't think the camera will work. And Nick's like, no, it's going to work. Ace calls Nick, and so he steps away, and George takes over and gets a picture of a spider in a web in the stairwell. Rightfully freaks out.
Were you also freaking out?
Yep.
You knew it was coming. As soon as he handed her the camera and walked away, I was like, okay, we're going to get a spider.
Yep.
It's coming.
Yep.
Nick gets to see it, too. He takes the camera from her, gets some more pictures of it scampering away. And I love his little moments. It took me back to when he just like drinks his tea from the first episode or whatever, where he's just like, huh.
And then we go over to Tristan. He is reading a newspaper article. So the other headlines in this are wine used to fight flames.
Oh.
And
I don't think that works. I think alcohol is flammable, right?
That's what I thought. So I'm wondering if there was anything else that was supernatural going on.
We should test it.
No.
Just have some wine.
I don't think we need to. And then cocktail bar singles night at 123 Main Street. I don't remember the location of the Claw. I don't think it's on Main Street, though. But it was another singles night way back when.
So not the first one?
Correct.
Bess was a liar.
I know. That's what I thought.
I love that you read what the articles were, because I fully didn't. Mm-hmm. And I was very focused, as was Bess, with, so you went to a ghost web prom together. How'd you ask Nancy?
He says that he was just trying to cheer her up in the moment. And then Bess is like, tell me that ghost web tux looked better in 1972. And I'm like, Bess, he looks amazing. Also, he hasn't changed, which I think is funny. He's just, I mean, you would have to go home and find it. Right. Their priorities, but.
He's just taken off the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks nice in the ruffles.
And he doesn't laugh at what she says and can't talk because he's reading an article, Murder or Something Else, Teenager Dies Horrifically at Keene High School Senior Prom. It's a picture of a bloody hallway. Stacy was killed at the prom, and it took a while to identify her body because of the horrific state it was in.
Cut to Nancy spinning up blood in the hallway. Obviously, Nancy's going to survive, but it was really dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the Drew crew plus Tristan setting up the door in the hallway. How did they get that in there?
Bess.
She magicked a wider door to get this giant frame thing.
I think it comes apart.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, but Bess gets stuff done.
Zip tied together.
She identifies it as a deadly Eastern Australian ghost spider, and people get it mixed up with the hallucinogenic Himalayan orb weaver. Bess also says she wants to catch it.
Yeah, and this is where I'm like, oh, okay, so that douchebag at the party killed Stacy.
Yep. So, the doorway is only going to last 4 minutes.
What is this paste they're talking about? I was confused, and then they pour soda. I was very confused about the mechanics of this whole situation.
Yeah, I was just kind of letting it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she said it was going to take like 6 months to make more of it. And so they could, that's why they only had 4 minutes to get in there.
Always. There's always a time limit or like a restraint to them trying things, mm-hmm. which lovely. Yeah, I was more focused on spiders and love interests.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a love triangle, I don't care about no paste.
Yeah, it's true. We just need to know 4 minutes. Only one person can go. So Ace is like, all right, I'm going.
And Bess says, no, you're not. Tristan is, because he's already been there. My yeah. goodness. The trust she has in him already
mm-hmm.
is huge. Like, Bess isn't going to risk Nancy here.
Right.
So she does the right thing. But Ace is just like,
So then Bess sends Ace and George to go get the spider while her and Nick keep the portal open.
Yeah. How are they keeping the portal stable? With the soda?
I don't know. They're doing it.
It was just to send Ace and George off. Which I was like, oh, we almost never get this combination.
No, we don't.
Like, I feel like we could probably go back and count on two hands the number of times we've ever had just these two in a scene together.
And I could see why they're not. Because he's like, so they're going to prom together? And she's like, well, let's not let them die there, Ace.
She shoots him down immediately.
Yeah, like, we're not going to have a conversation. No. We're going to go find this web or the spider. And they can see the web now because they think that it died and that's why they can see it.
Yeah.
And George is like, don't some spiders die after they mate?
Insects and arachnids are so weird.
Yeah.
With their mating and death.
Yeah, praying mantises eat the head off or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. Speaking of Buffy episodes.
Yeah, another thing I learned from Buffy.
Is Tristan a praying mantis? Tristan.
He is actually a lobster. That'd be kind of sick that he catches lobsters as a lobster to give to people to eat.
If Tristan is a lobster, I will lose my mind. I mean, he does look pretty delicious.
So Tristan is inside and he finds Nancy
by following blood.
Follows the blood and finds her. And she says her insides are ripping apart and she can't move. And he says, you don't need to. And immediately picks her up. And starts heading back to the doorway. Fortunately, Ace and George bring more venom. And that Bess pours it into the contraption. And that is able to keep it stronger.
Soda. Did they not pour soda?
No, I think they use maybe a soda can to collect the venom.
Okay.
And they can see Tristan coming. And they're like, you know, it's going to close. Hurrying up. He passes Nancy through to Nick. And then he collapses on top of Ace.
Yeah, they both got out alive. Everything's solved, right?
Yeah, and Nancy looks down, and the spider thing on their hand is gone, and she's just, so how is everyone else's day? So everything's fine.
Absolutely. Go over to the claw, where Bess is debriefing Nancy about Stacy giving birth to Spider and tells her, don't worry, it gets weirder. And George says, you need to explain this to me like I went to some liberal arts school. Rude.
Very rude. So we get another newspaper here. We learn that the spider hatched from Stacy, killed her. Bobby found Stacy after it killed her. And so the spider took Bobby as a snack and they found his body in the air vent a couple days later. This was after they already suspected that Bobby was responsible for killing her, for killing Stacy, because they couldn't find him after it happened.
Beautiful animal. Not sad it died.
Yep. The other headlines in the newspaper were Horseshoe Bay's oldest town person at 103 years of life was Rose Stewart. And the oil spill cleanup was seeking volunteers. So there's some kind of maybe something in the water back in 1972 as well.
Mer people.
Well, I was thinking more how they had issues with the water now. Yeah, with those 8 reanimated bodies.
I am trying, Sarah. There is a lot to keep track of this season.
I know. And now we have even more with tracking Chunky and all this. Nick comes with food, and then they're talking about gross stuff, and he's like, okay, let me know when that's over. And then he leaves with the food. He had like 4 plates. That was not all for him. He just took all their food back. The officials thought it was a crazed cannibal back in the 70s, and that's what they said the death was due to. And that spider spent decades in the school building a trap waiting for the perfect victim.
Yeah, and then they're like, well, they're waiting more for Nancy than Tristan because the web all started in Nancy's old bedroom wall, so maybe it smelled her. And I'm like, hold on, did Nancy not go to that high school? This wouldn't have been the first time Nancy walked through that hallway.
I don't know if it's like the cicadas, like where they're on a cycle of when they reproduce and all that.
And maybe it needed her to be with a man.
Maybe had to recreate that moment, and maybe during her 4 years in high school she never walked down that hallway with another person.
There's some holes there, but it is what it is, and it got the job done. But uh-oh, she coughs up blood. Ew, is she pregnant? Ew.
Yeah, because she said something's trying to get out. Thank God that I already gave birth, because my son would not be around if I saw this episode. That would have brought on a whole new slew of fears and anxiety that I did not need.
Yeah, I thought about you during all of that. We have Ace over at the morgue. He grabs a weapon and he grabs a formaldehyde that Cece was threatening Chunky with earlier.
Yeah. And Ace is like, that is a good idea. And they get to the Historical Society and it's padlocked with the sign saying it's closed. Thankfully, George has her trusty crowbar.
Yeah, she gets it out of the trunk and breaks into the Historical Society. They're like hauling poor Nancy along behind them. She says she's not ready for this when they ever laid on a table. Well, no crud, Nancy. When would you ever be ready to birth a spider?
Right. And, oh, I cannot imagine being in her position. Like, being so afraid, knowing what happened to Stacy, and thinking this is what's going to happen to me. Knowing that the only way out is to be cut open. Oh, yeah, no.
I feel like you would be done.
Yeah, I would be like, just take the head off and then just light my body on fire to get the spider gone. Nope, because then the spider might be on fire running around after it's hot. Nope. Even so, if I'm dead, I don't want that.
Gentle listeners, we obviously have exposed Sarah's fear of spiders this season. She also has a fear of people being caught on fire and running.
Yeah.
And so a spider on fire is like Sarah's worst fear.
Yeah, if it's running. If someone's just standing there on fire, it's okay. It is only if they are running.
Well, yeah, because then it's going to spread.
I know. And with a spider, there's 8 legs. 8 legs. 8 bodies.
Okay, we have to stop.
Anyways, so they cut her open.
This season of the number 8. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Nick is reading. George is helping keep Nancy calm, and Bess is cutting her open.
To extract a sack.
Reaches in to her friend to pull out a sack.
That is the nastiest thing I've ever seen. And she's like, oh, the incision will magically heal immediately. And it did. So as soon as the sack is out of her, Nancy is back to her. Like, she feels better. And there's not a hole in her.
Yeah.
So that's nice that we don't have a bandaged up Nancy for the next three seasons. Well, there's no more show. That's very sad. But it would have been three seasons to recover from that because of how slow this show is.
Yep.
By slow, I mean progression of time.
Yes.
Obviously. Yes. And then your favorite part. We have tiny, tiny thousands of spiders scamper across the floor and become one giant spider.
That was terrible.
Would you? I mean, I feel like if you were in a room, would you rather be in a room with a giant spider or thousands of tiny spiders?
A giant.
Right, because you just have to kill one thing.
I only have to run away from one thing. You think I'm confronting it? No.
Fight or flight. She chose flight.
Yeah, there would be a Sarah-shaped hole in the wall. Or an imprint, and I would just be down on the ground because I knocked myself out running into a wall. It comes at Nancy, and Ace gets there. Is like, I thought it would be a lot smaller. And he stabs it with a hammer, knocking it down. And before he can do the formaldehyde, it attacks Ace, and Nick grabs it and dumps it on the spider and kills it.
He's got Ace's back. And then Ace says, sorry, I was late. Nancy passes out completely justifiably. She's been through a lot.
Yeah. But they share a moment. I've seen a lot of people being like, Ace is like, oh, no, true love isn't dying for each other. And then he goes and does this. And I'm like, well, he wasn't trying to die. He was trying to keep her from dying. So this is completely in line with what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also, to me, as someone who wants them to be together at the end, but is also realistic about how relationships go. It felt like, okay, like you guys are only into each other when adrenaline is what pumping and not only into each other, clearly, but like you saved her. Of course you're going to have a moment.
Right.
That doesn't mean, well, we can magically be together.
I don't think they thought it was like a moment we can be together. It was I know I can depend on you. I know you're here for me. Yes. This is what we need.
Which is what he wanted from Chunky the whole time.
Yeah. And then the sirens start and they realize that someone noticed they broke into the Historical Society and the police are coming. So George is going to go. She's going to take the fall while everyone else sneaks out the back. Then we go back to the Claw and they're in the storage room and Nick is talking to Ace saying, hey, no ferret, but you really came through for Nancy.
To which he replies, dude, you came through for me. He and Nancy, they talk about how they had the moment and realize what they had and will always have. So he's basically like, yeah, Nick, you were right. We are never just friends.
And he said for the first time in a while, he feels pretty good.
Nick says tomorrow they're going out for lunch, opposed to eating at the dang morgue again.
And Ace is like, oh, yeah, I know a great seafood place. I used to work there.
Hilarious.
And Nick's like, okay, at least it's not the morgue. And then we hear the trap and Temperance chose to get caught.
Chunky the ferret chose to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she did choose to get caught because she knows what's going to be happening. Wild.
Mm-hmm. She saw him go to Lily's flower shop. She knew what was happening.
All right, we go to Nick and George in the front of the Claw. Nick is comforting George that what she did was right, and Carson comes in. He has a client meeting, but it's not George because her charges were dropped for breaking into the Historical Society.
Yeah, because Bess went to the police and confessed to breaking in, saying she acted alone, and George came to talk her out of it.
And she did that because George cannot become a lawyer with criminal record. Bess is the all-time MVP.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing everything.
She is. Especially, she could get deported if she's convicted.
Yeah,
she is kicked out of the country.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
They told us.
But right, right.
Yeah. George is like, Carson, let me help you defend Bess. And they're like, okay, cool, we'll do that. So yeah, this
she's
is
like, I know I don't deserve it and everything. And he says that he's counting on it. Because he knows George will do whatever necessary, legal or not, in order to protect her friends. Not that Carson would say, hey, go do this illegal stuff. But it's good to have that in the back pocket.
And I do feel like being deported is a little worse than not being able to become a lawyer.
Uh-huh. I agree.
So I feel like maybe Beth shouldn't have done this.
No, but I think she also wanted to take ownership of the situation.
Sure.
And didn't want the blame to be on her.
Fair.
And then back at Icarus Hall.
Nancy's on the phone with dad number two.
Yeah. She's saying she will return the car vacuum. She needed to use it to clean up some stuff in the wall in her old bedroom.
So funny.
So there are freaking spider eggs in that vacuum.
Burn it.
Yeah.
First, burn down the whole house. It's
yeah. I would tell Carson, you need to move. You need to burn this down.
There is a knock at the door. Who did you think it was going to be?
I don't remember.
I think I thought it was going to be Tristan.
Yeah. And I'm glad it was. He looked very nice in that tux.
Okay. Well, first, she gets up to go get the door, and we get a shot of the roundel sitting there. Because
yeah.
They were saying, keep an eye on the roundel, because whenever... It might start shaking when there's stuff going on with these eight bodies or whatever.
Yeah.
So we get a shot of it not shaking. Mm-hmm. She goes up, answers the door. He looked good, but mm-hmm. he did not look as good as he did in the other tugs.
No.
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 Because this is basic. Give me personality. People mm-hmm. need to dress for fun. People need to dress for what other people expect looks nice. Dumb. Sorry. Oh, so yeah. So I... needed to be very clear that I liked Tristan's look more when it was the blue suit. But, and the ruffles. But he brought flowers.
And you can tell, like, and he's saying, like, this seemed like a really good idea an hour ago. And you can tell, like, he's starting to, like, get embarrassed and everything. But she thinks it's cute. Because
yeah,
it is cute.
It is. So she invites him in. And he's talking about how much he liked that song that they were slow dancing to. He actually downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, we never got to hear the end of it. I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna dance.
Yeah.
In the place of evil, but whatever.
yeah, she asks how long he has a tux for, and he said it's a 3-hour minimum. And so they start dancing. And I am just thinking, Ace, don't you come. Don't you walk in.
I knew he was going to, and I wanted it to happen.
I didn't want it to happen because I hate confrontation.
I love.
But there was no confrontation.
Love triangles.
So had you been in Ace's shoes, would you have just left? Because I probably would have, but part of me was like,
no, I wouldn't.
I got the ferret, so I think I'm just going to go in here and make her uncomfortable and be like, hey, I'm helping you out.
Or I would have, what I thought he was going to do is I thought he was going to leave the ferret and go.
Yeah.
Because then it makes like a bigger statement of like, I was here and I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this thing I did for you. And then instead, this really made me mad. He lets it out into the wild.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ace, this is someone's pet and you could have just murdered it because a coyote could get it or something. Granted, it's been out for a week or something mm-hmm. running around, living just fine. But it could die because you let it out. So I'm like, did you do that because this is you like letting go and not interfering with Nancy anymore and letting her do it on her own? But I'm like, just turn the bounty in, get the money, and then you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. solved the case. You should get the reward instead of risking the life of the ferret. It really upset me.
No, I agree. I understand the whole metaphor and why he did it, blah, blah, blah. And he opens the door and Temperance Chunky doesn't leave. Because she's like, no.
And it bites him.
You need to go back in there and cause some drama. And yeah, bites him. And then eventually leaves like, oh, I guess I'll do it myself. So we'll see what Chunky gets up to. This is probably the last we're going to see Chunky.
No, I think you're fully right that it's temperate. I don't know, Sarah. That's a wild, wild.
It is wild.
I love it.
So this is where I thought it was extra cloudy. Like the camera work made it look very cloudy. Made me also think about Temperance.
I believe it. I didn't catch it. Nancy hears a car drive off, and Tristan's like, I didn't hear anything. I'm like,
I think
sketchy.
Nancy knew
in that moment.
She knew that was Florence.
Oh, the car. Yeah,
and
it's just cars in Florence.
Yeah.
Oh, and
then he was not trying to hide it. He was loudly driving away.
He was being a child after letting a ferret out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he let it out at Nancy's place, so maybe Nancy will find it.
And then the leaves blew across the floor.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought it was Temperance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I saw the leaves. I was like, something supernatural is happening. But I was like, is this Tristan related? But it makes a lot more sense to be Temperance. But I guess if he is Temperance, just kidding, he's not Temperance.
Maybe he's Kickstand.
Ew. And Just My Imagination's playing. And we get some lyrics there. Running Away With Me. Yeah, it was good.
I thought we were done with Temperance. But now, since the early part of this episode recording, now I think she's back. And yeah. She is. Because she was not able to be killed. And they're like, well, we killed her with that axe.
Stabbed her real good.
But I don't think that she's dead.
I'm excited for your theory. And I'm excited to see how that plays out. All right, Sarah, should we talk about MVPs for this episode?
Yes.
All right, so I want to give an honorable mention to that scene that we talked about where they're all figuring out that Nancy's stuck in 1972. For most entertaining, everyone involved in that scene gets a little nod.
Yes.
What do you have for this episode? Super Sleuth, most helpful?
So I think the Super Sleuth, most helpful, I'm going to give it to Nick.
Hey, I gave it to Nick.
Yeah.
Because he's really helping Ace here.
He's doing that. Plus, he's doing pulling his weight, like converting the camera over and just being helpful there as well. He's the one that finally takes down the spider.
Yep.
Yeah. I fully give it to him.
We agree almost every time.
I know. It's weird.
I don't think we're going to hear. So I have a public announcement. I am going to do my best the rest of the season to not give it to Bess for anything Super Sleuth or entertaining, because she's my favorite character. I think everything out of her mouth is gold, and she's clearly the most helpful person, even including Nancy. So I feel like it'd be very easy to give Bess either one for me every episode. So yeah. I'm no longer giving Bess anything.
Okay.
I'd say don't quote me, but I just said it on a podcast. We'll see how long it lasts. So for entertaining, I think I'm actually going to give it to Tristan.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. So obviously for me, it's the tux.
It was a lot of the tux. But then also just seeing how much he was wanting to connect with Nancy. Like, it seemed very genuine. Very nice.
It was cute. Yeah. It gave me those like aw moments, which I love on a TV show. I love an aw moment. And not knowing his intentions still has me very invested. Like, I was very invested in all of his stuff this episode.
Yeah.
So, that's wild that we both had the same people for this one.
Yeah, that is.
You, of course, are welcome to do Bess and Nancy whenever you want, but I'm going to try not to.
Okay.
Cool.
We'll see if that lasts 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Speaking of lasting a week, what is the next episode, Sarah?
Episode 407 is The Reaping of the Hollow Oak. I've seen a lot of the theories that Simon is going to be back. Simon was when George's sister was kidnapped.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was the entity behind that. And when he was like represented by a tree or something.
Oh.
Maybe that's connected with the oak. Because I feel like that was never really resolved. Like, they got Charlie back, but didn't really.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. This season is wild. Hope you enjoyed our very silly predictions today. Till next time, keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
Picture this. You have a long commute to work and just want to listen to a good podcast, but there are too many choices. Anime, film, comic books, science. What will you do?
Well, never fear. We are here with all of your podcast needs. Welcome, all freaks and geeks. We are the Square Roundtable Podcast, a collective of Black nerds discussing all things anime, comics, science, and pop culture related. Please join us for our weekly podcast every Friday on squareroundtablepod.fandomlim.com, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Be there and be square.